From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Paul Before Felix, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus is ever giving, and does not for a solitary instant withdraw His hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from His smitten side. The rain of His grace is always dropping. The river of His bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of His love is constantly overflowing. As the King can never die, so His grace can never fail. Daily we pluck His fruit, and daily His branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in His weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in His years. Who has ever returned from His door unblessed? Who has ever risen from His table unsatisfied? His mercies are new every morning, and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of His benefits, or recount the list of His bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of His kindness, and with the yellow gold of His affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of His favor. The countless stars are but as the standard-bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which He bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of His mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol Him, who daily loadeth us with benefits, and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as His bounty! O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but my shame. Awake, psaltery and harp! I myself will awake right early.
Forever praise Him, He rules.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. In chapter 24 of Acts, Paul is a prisoner of the Romans, having been rescued by them from death at the hands of the Jews. Having learned of a conspiracy to slay Paul, the Roman centurion sent him to Caesarea to be judged there by Felix, the governor of the region. Paul does not hesitate to confess Christ before this tribunal. Dr. Cairns is focusing upon the final verses of the chapter, which show Paul, the defendant before Felix, becoming Paul, the examiner of Felix, and preaching to this corrupt official the need for repentance from his sins. With spirit-energized boldness, Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, bringing Felix face to face with his sin, with the result that Felix trembled under conviction. Now to continue this message entitled, Paul Before Felix, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now you'll never reach the stage where the ungodly will say nothing about you. You'll never reach the stage where they won't criticize you. They called the Lord Jesus Christ Beelzebub. They said he was the very devil himself. So you can be expecting the ungodly and the wicked world to say many a thing, even about the most upright of Christians. Paul says that's what they're doing with me. But he says, look at my conduct. My conduct will bear scrutiny. My life can be put under the light. I can stand up before God and man, and I can say that every charge that they have laid against me is a lie. It's good when a Christian has that kind of testimony. Notice verse 14 and 15. He talks about his confession. Now here again, Paul differs from the modern evangelical Christian, because nowadays people would cover up the thing that was going to hurt them. We noticed this last week. They would skate around the part that the world didn't like. But Paul says, I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets, and of hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. They had accused him of being a Christian. He said, well, if that's an accusation, I accept it. If that carries the death penalty, I accept it. If that's going to be something that will come under the curse of the world and of the court, then I'll come under the curse of the world and of the court. But he says publicly, on trial before my judge, I confess Jesus Christ. And Paul certainly knew what it was to take the stand, confessing the great fundamentals of the faith. And then notice verse 16. You could follow this out as a Bible study, actually, because it becomes a very interesting line of study, not only here, but through the Scriptures. Paul's conscience. He says, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense, as we read in 1 Peter 3:16, a good conscience. Now, isn't there a very clear difference between Paul's conscience and Felix's conscience? Paul was the prisoner, and he had a good conscience and a clear conscience. Felix was the judge, and he trembled. His troubled conscience made him tremble. Paul's conscience, he could say, not only before men, but before God, I have lived right, I've done what's right, I've preached what's right, I've stood for what's right, and if I go out to meet my Maker today, I have a good conscience. I can live and I can die at peace with God, for my conscience is right. You know, there's many a man, many a woman can live with a smile in their face, and they can quell the voice of conscience when they're going through life and have health and have strength and everything's rosy in the garden. But let them come face to face with death and eternity. What kind of a conscience do they have then? Man who ruined a whole generation of young Frenchmen, led them down the road of infidelity to hell. Voltaire had a conscience that he could quell in life. But when he came to die, he would give anything for life. He was afraid to go out to eternity. So much so that the nurse who attended him vowed, I will never again stand at the deathbed of a dying infidel. I couldn't do it. George Bernard Shaw, a man who cursed England and indeed the Western world with much of his socialism and his atheism, which he called sometimes agnosticism, his murderous hatred of the things of God. He came to die. He cried, it's getting dark. It's getting dark. The light of his reason was going out. The light of his satire and his sarcasm and his mockery was no longer with him. It's getting dark. And the conscience was not at peace. But here's Paul looking death between the eyes. And he says, I have a good conscience, a conscience void of offense. I can live for Jesus Christ. And I can die for Jesus Christ. For I'm right with God. Now that's a good conscience. And then in verse 19 and 20, Paul's contention. He cites the basic principle of Roman law. which is that the witnesses must appear. I noticed last week just quickly how Paul used his Roman citizenship. Well, here he uses his citizenship and Roman law. Using the world but not abusing it. Bringing everything into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says the witnesses must come. Otherwise, I cannot be found guilty. Well, he wasn't found guilty, but he was put nonetheless in prison. And for 2 years there he was kept. But during those 2 years, certainly at the early part of it particularly, the roles were reversed. And this is what I want us to think of this morning. Paul, in effect, became the examiner. And Felix became the prisoner. Felix sent for him, and they talked. Verse 24 through 27. Now there are three things we're going just to mention. There's Paul's reasoning. Notice what it says. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. There's Felix's reaction. He trembled. And then there's Felix's rejection. He says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now let's look at Paul's reasoning. I think if you have listened to me through the book of Acts, you'll realize that among all the men of the New Testament, I esteem Paul more highly than any other. All the servants of Christ. If ever I admired this man of God, I must say it's when I read this portion. Felix murdered men for saying less than Paul said. And Paul knew this, and yet he stood up, and this is how he talked. He spoke to Felix of three things: purity, passion, and punishment. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Now, first of all, purity. He talked about righteousness. The first thing he got to talking about to Felix was not the love of God. Did you notice that? Now, that's not to say Paul didn't preach the love of God. Did you ever read Romans 5? He preached the love of God all right. But when he came to Felix, that wasn't the first thing he preached. The first thing he preached to Felix was not the mercy of God. And you can be absolutely sure the first thing he preached to Felix was not the jargon that we hear today. Felix, God has a plan for your life. That's not what he preached. The first thing Paul preached to Felix was righteousness. And the very first point in that, I have absolutely no doubt, was Felix's absolute need of righteousness if he was ever to be in God's presence and in God's heaven. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 27, nothing that defileth shall enter therein. Now those are clear, plain statements. You can't argue around them. You can't shift them. You can't change them. You can say, well, I think I'm not too bad. That's not good enough for heaven. You can say, well, I do the best I can. That's not good enough for heaven. The Bible says, without holiness, absolute, pure, unspotted holiness, no man shall see God. And then the Bible goes even further. In the second text I quoted, and it says, anything that is even defiled, anything that is even slightly tainted, cannot enter into heaven. I remember witnessing to a Roman Catholic girl who was a typist in the insurance firm that I went to work in when I left school. And when I witnessed to her about the gospel, of course, being a Roman Catholic, she had absolutely no notion of the doctrine of justification. She didn't know the word. She had no idea what it was up to. And so she said to me, she said, but look, it's impossible for anybody when they die to go to heaven. They must go to purgatory. I said, why? She said, because if you're ever going to get to heaven, you must be absolutely perfect. For nothing that's less than perfect can get into heaven. I said, Gwen, you're absolutely right. Not about purgatory, but you're right about heaven. Nothing short of God's standard of perfection will ever be accepted in heaven. And that's what Paul got to talking about when he was speaking to Felix. First of all, his need of righteousness. And then his lack of righteousness. Here Paul got to preaching about Felix's sin. I said I admired him when he preached here. I'll tell you, he deserves to be admired. Felix, let me give you a wee bit of his history. Felix was a slave, and he had been set free, and he had been greatly promoted by the imperial Caesar. He had been promoted especially through the efforts and friendship of a man called Jonathan, who became the Jewish high priest. But once Felix got up in the world, he became the most wicked, lecherous, immoral, godless tyrant that you can imagine. He was guilty of every foul sin that you could mention. So much so that his friend Jonathan felt that he had to give him a mild rebuke. And Jonathan went and he remonstrated with Felix. The thanks that he got was that he was quickly murdered. So that's the kind of a man he was. Tacitus, the Roman historian, said that with all manner of ferocity and lust, Felix wielded the power of a king with the disposition of a slave. A wicked, godless man. Now, in the face of such a man, what did Paul preach? Preached against his sin. He says, Felix, you need righteousness to be right with God. Political power will do you no good. Felix was used to pulling the strings with political power. Felix was used to paying people off and people paying him off. You'll see this later in the chapter. He sent for Paul hoping for a bribe that he would let him go. He let him stay in prison even after as he was leaving the whole territory as a bribe to the Jews. He paid people off and they paid him off. And Paul was saying, Felix, you'll not get to heaven that way. You need righteousness, and you don't have it. Paul, in other words, set out to make Felix feel his sin. That's what he wanted him to feel. His sin, his ungodliness. He had Felix before him, and he wanted Felix to writhe in the presence of God under the sense of his own rottenness and his own ungodliness. Now, Paul was a good spiritual doctor. Paul was a good preacher. Because he realized until a man feels his sin, he'll never be saved. When a man keeps talking about how good he is, he's not on the way to heaven. When a man talks about that he's not as bad as somebody else and he's as good as many a person who says he's saved, he's not on the way to heaven. Because he's not even in the way to being saved. For he doesn't feel his sin. But when Paul got to talking to Felix, he got so through to Felix that Felix felt, maybe for the first time, his sin, his rottenness. The Bible says, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. Now here comes the gospel. Paul did preach the gospel to Felix. You can be sure of that. He never went anywhere without preaching the gospel. And when he preached of righteousness, and I want you to follow this because it's my experience, first of all, that not I mentioned Roman Catholics there, that most Roman Catholics don't know the doctrine of justification. I have never met the Roman Catholic who knows the doctrine of justification, unless they've been saved out of Romanism. Secondly, most Protestants don't know the doctrine of justification. And thirdly, most born-again Christians have a very hazy idea about the doctrine of justification. So let's learn it this morning. Paul was preaching, you need absolute and perfect righteousness to get to heaven. You don't have it. So how then can a person get to heaven? My Roman Catholic friend, she said, well, I've got to go to purgatory to get the sin burned out of me. That was her answer. That's the Pope's answer. It's the devil's answer, for there's no such place as purgatory. If you die without the qualifications to enter heaven, you'll be in hell. That's the Bible teaching. So how then can a man get to heaven? Here's the answer. Paul preached that how to obtain righteousness is in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.